You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Welcome to the show. It is Thursday, August 7th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We're coming to you live and direct from Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon, where we are on the cusp of legalizing a half pound of marijuana come this November. Make sure you visit newapproachoregon.com to get more information, and if you're an Oregon resident, make sure you are registered to vote and your address is up to date with the Secretary of State. We need all the votes we can get. Coming up on today's show, oh my goodness, we have a chock full Groovin' Thursday for you today. We are all hip hop themed today with our special guest joining us at half past the hour for a cannabis community chat, hip hop artist and activist Jasiri X. I first met Jasiri at the Drug Policy Alliance conference in Denver last year, where he delivered a devastating closing poem, basically, a couple of rhymes that he put together that just left the whole conference in amazement. And his ability and grasp of the English language and grasp of modern activism is just amazing. We're going to talk to him at half past the hour. And in hour two, Toker Talk Radio, we're going to feature four different tunes from Jasiri X so you can get some of an idea of what he's out there fighting for. Also on the show today, cops say legalize drugs. It's our regular segment with law and enforcement against prohibition. Former San Diego Deputy Sheriff Leo Lawrence will be joining us to discuss why he thinks we need to end adult marijuana prohibition. In behind the headlines today, we have got a great, well, not a great story, but a very powerful story about Fife, Washington, a little town in Washington that is suing to prevent any I-502 marijuana businesses from being established there. And they are citing the federal law against marijuana in their lawsuit. We'll take a look at what the effects of that lawsuit may be and how likely it is to pass in our behind the headline segment. Also on the show today in hour two, we're going to take a deep look at the money for and against marijuana legalization in this country. We'll look at the lobbying budgets and operational budgets of the pro-marijuana forces versus those corporations and entities that wish to keep marijuana illegal. It's not quite a fair battle. We'll show you all about that in hour two. But before we get to that, we'll do our 420 radio headline news. And in the news today, unfortunately, Priscilla Seibin can't be with us. She's got a training date with her employer. So I'll be bringing you the headlines, which include new preliminary figures from the state of Colorado on the youth use of marijuana since legalization took effect in 2013. We've got a look at a lawsuit in New Mexico where a patient is suing over being fired for her use of medical marijuana. We've also got the first infused products and vaporizer pens on the store shelves in Washington state. We've got an update on that accidental over-ingestion at the Denver County Fair. Wiz Khalifa is on the lam from authorities in Texas who have issued a warrant for his arrest. And the Costa Mesa, California City Council has rejected a well-written ordinance to regulate medical marijuana dispensaries in that city. We'll tell you why it failed and what other options are possible in the city of Costa Mesa. All that's coming up today on the Russ Belville Show. Thanks for joining us and thanks for supporting independent public radio for marijuana legalization. If you'd like to get involved, if you'd like to throw a few dollars of support our way, you can do that by going to 420radio.org/VIP. Become a VIP member with a small monthly donation to 420 Radio. You get access to more content and discounts at our shop. Or advertise with 420 Radio at 420radio.org/advertise. We're back with the news right after this.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest.
I want to ask you to help tens of thousands of sick Floridians who desperately need your help. They are suffering with illnesses such as cancer, ALS, AIDS, epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, debilitating injuries including paralysis, many terminal. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Pill mills are prescribing dangerous narcotics like candy. People get addicted and many die. Medical marijuana has been proven to give our loved ones relief they need, helping with pain, appetite, seizures, and spasms. Unfortunately, Tallahassee politicians refused to vote on the issue last session. They wouldn't even hear testimony from patients and their families. Therefore, we will take this act of mercy to you, the people. If you're willing to join this army of angels, email me at johnmorgan@forthepeople.com for information on how you can help us get this on the ballot in 2014. We need you. Let's do this for the people, for the really sick people. God bless you all.
Cannabis Network Radio, replaying Wednesdays at 12 Pacific.
If you look at the projected tax revenues in Washington State and in Colorado and also nationally, Colorado, $67 million, Washington, $560 million, a hypothetical look more nationally, $5.8 billion. What do you make of that, Dan?
Well, you know, I think the taxation revenue is the icing on the cake. I mean, for most Americans, the reason that they want to tax and regulate marijuana, again, is to no longer arrest and prosecute adults for using something that's safer than alcohol. My background is as a prosecuting attorney, and I just felt like it was a waste of my time and my taxpayer dollars arresting people for something that's really just not a threat to public safety. So if we can, you know, take revenue away from drug cartels and reallocate law enforcement resources and do all of those things, that makes sense. And if we can maybe collect some tax revenue on top of that, then that's icing on the cake.
As part of your organization, Dan, you are essentially targeting 10 or so states for legalizing recreational marijuana: Rhode Island, Vermont, New Hampshire, Hawaii. What's your sense of why those states could be ripe for legalization?
Well, the states that you mentioned are most likely to do this legislatively. They don't have a ballot initiative process there like we do in Colorado and Washington, where ballot initiatives were recently passed, and like we do in Maine, California, Arizona, Nevada, and some other states where we expect in 2016 or maybe even sooner, initiatives will pass to tax and regulate marijuana.
And Reed, is it a sense that this could end up being another sort of coastal middle America divide or red state, blue state divide?
Well, aside from a few states like Nevada and Arizona that you just mentioned, every other state in that list has one thing in common: they have Democratic legislatures. And in those states, you know, one of the big stories that we're telling at GovBeat is the divide between red America and blue America.
Yeah.
Red America is restricting abortion and cutting taxes on everything, whereas blue America is legalizing gay marriage and legalizing marijuana. So here we see, again, that sort of patchwork nation. As you mentioned, it's the coastal version.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Priscilla Simon.
Priscilla Simon has the day off. I'm Radical Russ with your 420 Radio News for Thursday, August 7th, 2014. Since legalization, fewer teens in Colorado believe that marijuana use is inherently risky. However, data also show that fewer of them are using marijuana. The preliminary figures from the 2013 Healthy Kids Colorado survey found that middle school and high school kids who thought use of marijuana was a moderate risk or a great risk declined from 58% to 54% from 2011 to 2013, the first full year of legalization. Yet, marijuana was used on a monthly basis by 20% of high school students in 2013, down from 22% in 2011. And the high school students who have ever tried marijuana dropped from 39% to 37% in the same period. The drops aren't statistically significant, but you can bet legalization opponents wouldn't note that if it were a rise in use by 2 percentage points. The survey collected responses from about 40,000 students in over 220 schools. Yeah, when I read this story and whenever I hear this statistic about the perception of risk, this is something our opponents come back to all the time, is since legalization, kids aren't perceiving marijuana as being as harmful. Well, gosh, when the baseline was it's going to cause the same damage to your brain as being on Bikini Island during an A-bomb blast, like President Reagan said, or that your brain on drugs was like a fried egg, or that marijuana was the deadly drug that was going to lead you straight to heroin addiction, then if that's your baseline, it's no surprise that when you ask kids about marijuana use today, they find it less risky because now they understand the truth about it. They understand the reality about marijuana. In fact, having less perception of risk of marijuana just means that the kids are getting accurate information about marijuana. Parents are going to have to understand that getting their kids to not use marijuana can't depend on just saying it's illegal or saying that it's something dangerous and deadly. It's going to have to depend on parents demonstrating and modeling their own behaviors and having kids understand that it is an adult recreation, not for kids, and that their brains are still developing and they can wait until they use marijuana until they turn, well, at least 18, but 21 is the law right now. We'll go with that. A patient in New Mexico using medical marijuana to treat post-traumatic stress is suing the hospital that fired her over a failed piss test. Donna Smith is a medical marijuana cardholder who is suing under the New Mexico Human Rights Act, which prohibits discrimination against the seriously disabled. Quote, "As far as medical patients are concerned, a lot of these people aren't able to work unless they're using marijuana. And then they're prevented from working once they are using it," says Jessica Galay, the Drug Policy Alliance Policy Coordinator for New Mexico. But Hospital Vice President Joanne Suffis said, quote, "Presbyterian Hospital is committed to patient safety, and we believe that a drug-free workplace is a key component. The use of medical marijuana is not recognized by federal law, and Presbyterian has a mandate under federal law to provide a drug-free workplace," end quote. The U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has already rejected a previous medical marijuana challenge based on the federal Americans with Disabilities Act. Well, the problem with the ADH challenges, trying to challenge under the federal Americans with Disability Act, is it's a federal act. And under federal law, there is no such thing as medical marijuana. So not much ground to stand on there when you make a federal challenge. But we're talking about a challenge under the New Mexico Human Rights Act, and that might be different because we are talking about a state that recognizes the medical use of marijuana. And we are also talking about a state law that protects disabled people. So if you're a disabled person and the only way that you can be able to work is through the use of medical marijuana, something the state of New Mexico recognizes, it would seem logical to me that that New Mexico Human Rights Act should protect those people. But we see this is one of the flaws of the early Western medical marijuana laws is not anticipating that employers would still fire people for using lawful medical marijuana. Some of the newer East Coast states, while they have taken away the right of home grow, they have included protections against being fired simply over the metabolites in one's pee when taking a piss test at work. This further shows why we need to move forward with legalization so that we can get all these excuses out of the way for discrimination against marijuana consumers and that we can move then from legalization to equalization. The first marijuana-infused products and vaporizer pens were on store shelves in Washington State yesterday. The delay in getting edibles on the shelf had to do with a lack of state-certified kitchens, but 2 weeks ago, Green Chief finally got a license and shipped out 500 bags of Trail Mix, Chex Mix, and Nut Clusters to Top Shelf, a store in Bellingham. Potency ranges from 15 to 20 milligrams of THC per serving, up to double the potency allowed in Colorado edibles. Vaporizer pens, like the cartridge-based Riff device, are showing up in Washington pot stores, with prices at around $30 for the battery unit and $75 to $80 for a pre-filled 250 milligram cartridge. Wow, $80 for a 250 milligram cartridge. That works out to $320 a gram for oil, doesn't it? These prices are getting a little bit ridiculous, Washington State, as if they weren't ridiculous enough before. I like vaporizer pens. I've got this Tystic vaporizer pen that I use all the time, and I thought I was upset when the refill cartridge for a gram of oil that comes in this refill cartridge, when a gram cartridge costs $60 in an Oregon dispensary.
We're looking at people paying more than that for 1/4 the amount for a vaporizer pen. Nah, folks, these prices are going to have to come down. You're not going to be able to charge that to marijuana consumers. They're going to go around this. They're going to find refillable cartridge pens, and they're going to blast BHO at home until the commercial market recognizes the demand for oil and brings those prices down to deter illegal BHO production and black market sales. We have an update on yesterday's story about a man overdosing on THC at the Denver County Fair. We reported how one man ended up in the hospital testing at 100 nanograms of THC in the blood, 20 times the 5 nanograms inferred impairment limit for driving. After he ingested an entire chocolate bar, he was told was a sample that had no THC in it. Well, ABC News is now reporting that two other people suffered the same accidental overingestion, with one of them also taken to the hospital. The fair vendor, Livewell, said any THC-laden chocolate bars that were given out at the Pop Pavilion were without its knowledge. Well, I mentioned this on the report yesterday, that it just seems like a stupid idea to be giving out the chocolate bars in the first place. If you are selling chocolate bars that have THC in them in your store, and then you're going to give out non-THC samples of that chocolate and tell the people who are getting it that, well, you know, this tastes different than what it will taste like when it has THC in it, what's the point of giving out the chocolate bars? It didn't make a lot of sense to me. And to me, it only just opened up the possibility there would be an accident. There would be somebody accidentally getting a medicated chocolate bar. Let's just not be giving away these chocolate bars here, even if you think they're unmedicated, if they're intended to be medicated. The last thing we need is more people going to the hospital, generating headlines on ABC, and putting a black mark again on the edibles market in this country. A warrant has been issued for rapper Wiz Khalifa's arrest after he skipped a court date on a marijuana possession charge in West Texas. Online court records show the 26-year-old performer, whose real name is Cameron Thomas, failed to appear for a scheduled Wednesday arraignment in an El Paso County misdemeanor court. The case started May 25th when Khalifa was arrested at El Paso International Airport after airport security officers reported finding a small canister of marijuana on him. Khalifa had been departing after appearing at a local music festival. Instead, he was charged with misdemeanor possession of marijuana and was released after posting $300 bail. Look, I don't get this. If you're Wiz Khalifa, where in the hell are you flying to where you're not going to be able to get weed? You're Wiz freaking Khalifa. You need to take weed out of Texas to go back somewhere else? And please don't tell me he was flying back home to like California or something, where weed is plentiful and he's probably got a big stash at his mansion or whatever. I never understand these celebrities, especially these rich celebrities who are known for pot, wanting to travel with it through federal airports. Just wait till you land and somebody will surely hook you up. I mean, that's the way it works for me, buddy. The Costa Mesa City Council has rejected an ordinance on marijuana dispensaries called, quote, the best ordinance I've ever read, end quote, by a former LAPD deputy chief. The ordinance would have required 24-hour security, 1,000-foot buffer zones from schools, youth centers, and other dispensaries, and forbidden on-site marijuana recommendations from doctors. Still, after a 2.5-hour discussion, the council rejected the new law, with one councilwoman complaining that the proposal felt hurried. Two initiatives are still circulating in Costa Mesa, one led by an Orange County attorney who would have preferred the proposed ordinance rather than going through the initiative process and an election to provide for patients in Costa Mesa after 18 years of legal medical marijuana in California. Yeah, California, you know, California's just going to have to legalize in 2016 and write comprehensive statewide regulations for that. I don't know that they can even go back and fix medical marijuana at this point. There's so many conflicting rulings and judgments, and this county does one thing and this county does another thing, and this city has a ban and this city has a moratorium, and it's just such a mess. It's going to take full-scale adult marijuana legalization in the state of California, statewide regulation of the marijuana cultivation and the marijuana markets before any of this is going to change. You know, California's had it good for a long time with its de facto quasi-legalization,
But this case and many others are showing why legalization is the only true answer. All right, folks, time for us to take a break. Priscilla Seibin is probably not enjoying her 420 break as much as she normally would. But we'll enjoy it for her. It's 420 in the Mountain Time Zone. Hanging out here with Big Island Zane. We're going to smoke something really good and pray for the people of Hawaii battening down the hatches in the face of two hurricanes. We'll talk about that more in hour two. Stay tuned. 420 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups.
I don't use marijuana, but as a teacher of 36 years, I can tell you lots of other people use it. I don't believe in prohibition. I don't think it works. Prohibiting it hasn't stopped anybody from getting a hold of it. I would like to see it regulated so that maybe kids can't get a hold of it so easily. I know they get a hold of it now very easily. I support a new approach to marijuana. I support legalizing it. It's with us. It's not going to go away. And if we can get money through the taxation, we can also educate our kids about it. That's why I support it.
Join us for the International Cannabis Business Conference September 13th and 14th in the Portland Ballroom at the Oregon Convention Center. The International Cannabis Business Conference will focus on the emerging cannabis industry in Oregon, the United States, and around the world, putting you in front of the industry's foremost entrepreneurs, political leaders, and attorneys. Also showcasing over 40 cannabis-related industry exhibitors, offering VIP lunches and free nightly networking events. Prepare yourself for America's next great industry.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of The Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Are you a hypocrite? If you live a closeted cannabis lifestyle, you are. Read about seven people living a closeted cannabis lifestyle who are on the verge of coming out in The Hypocrites by Mara K. Eaton. Available at areyouahypocrite.net. You can purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, also available on iTunes. Check out Mara K. Eaton on Facebook as well. Learn more at areyouahypocrite.net.
Welcome back. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And in today's story, we're taking a look at a lawsuit being filed out of Fife, Washington, a little town. And it's challenging the legality of I-502 and whether or not the state can force them to accept marijuana licensees that they want to ban. This is being reported by the NewsTribune.com. And basically, the city of Fife has already banned marijuana businesses. Now, a prospective retailer who's already been licensed by the Liquor Control Board is challenging that ban. And in response to his challenge, the city argues that the drug is, quote, still criminal in virtually all cases under federal law, regardless of compliance with I-502, end quote. Now, it should be noted, I-502 was passed by 55% of Washington voters and a majority of the voters in the city of Fife. So the city leaders are going against the will of their own voters at this point. The city attorney, Lauren Combs, told the News Tribune on Wednesday the city will argue that federal prohibition of marijuana trumps I-502, which of course created the regulatory system for recreational pot. Now, in response, the marijuana advocates and the attorney general's office are calling shenanigans. Allison Holcomb, who authored I-502 and is the criminal justice director for the ACLU, has consistently maintained that federal law does not preempt state law. But this has yet to be tested. The city of Wenatchee was going to ban it, and there was going to be a the ACLU was going to intervene. But Attorney General Bob Ferguson said that I-502 doesn't prevent local governments from banning marijuana operations. That was just the Attorney General's opinion, though, and it hadn't gone to court yet. Wenatchee backed off when they realized, hey, fighting this thing in court is going to cost the city a whole lot of money we don't have. That hasn't stopped the city of Fife. Fife is the first city prepared to argue that the federal supremacy outranks the state law. According to the that city attorney Combs, the law is the law. The city council has directed us to uphold the law, end quote. Now, the attorney general's office announced last week that it was intervening in the lawsuit in Fife and the lawsuit in Wenatchee to uphold the will of the voters. They released a statement Wednesday from the attorney general's office stressing that it will vigorously defend I-502 and argue against the federal preemption claim. According to the statement, quote, the city claims that the state law is invalid because it conflicts with federal law. If a court accepts that argument and it is upheld on appeal, it would mean the end of the state system for legal marijuana sales in Washington. This case and others like it threaten the heart of Initiative 502. We want to participate in all cases like this to defend the will of the voters. Now, how likely is this court case to move forward? There have been numerous court cases that have addressed the federal supremacy clause, the idea that the federal law against marijuana makes state laws for marijuana invalid. And here's basically how it goes down. The federal government is in charge of managing federal laws and enforcing federal laws. The state is in charge of managing and enforcing state laws. There is nothing, absolutely nothing in the United States Constitution that gives the federal government the power to force state officials to obey federal law. Now, state officials can't be in direct conflict with federal law. And that's why when we write these legalization ordinances, we don't write them with state-run stores where a state employee is growing or handling or selling marijuana. Because then we would be having state employees, agents of the state, in direct conflict with federal law. But we are not talking about state actors here. We're talking about independent businesses. And we're talking about regulations over those independent businesses that don't require the state to violate a federal law at all. Now, the people complying with the state law may indeed be breaking federal law by doing so, but that's not the state's concern. That's the federal government's concern. It's my prediction that this case goes down like all those other cases, especially given the most recent memos from the federal government saying they wish to allow the states to experiment on these matters. Fife is just wasting the money and time of its own taxpayers who voted for I-502 legalization. But you can never go wrong overestimating the will of elected officials to disregard the will of their own people. We're going to take a break. When we come back, hip-hop activist and artist Jasiri X joins us by telephone. Stick around. It's the Russ Belville Show.
Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
Marijuana Compassion and Common Sense with Lanny Swerdlow, RN, from the Inland Empire, California. Replaying Tuesdays at 10 Pacific on 420radio.org. The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult marijuana prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's 31 after the hour, and joining us by telephone, we've got an artist who I had the privilege of first meeting at the Drug Policy Alliance Conference in Denver, Colorado. We've got Jasiri X on the phone. How are you doing, X?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. Should I call you X or Jasiri?
Either whatever you like better. I'll answer to both.
I'll go with Jasiri. If I say X, I think of Malcolm. So I'll go with Jasiri for now.
That's not a bad thing for me, neither.
But. Not a bad thing at all. All right. So Jasiri X, we saw you, like I said, at the Denver DPA conference. And I was perusing your channel and checking out some of the activism work and some of the videos that you posted there. Stuff having to do with Gaza and Palestine, stuff having to do with Trayvon Martin. Obviously, you're very well informed and very active in your community. And I'm just wondering, how does the war on drugs and your activism fit into the broader scope of what you're trying to fight for?
Well, I mean, it definitely is a big part of it. In fact, just yesterday, I actually participated in a tweet chat called Schools Not Prisons, and it's really revolving around a proposition that's happening in California that's coming up on a ballot November called Prop 47, which is actually dealing with taking these, nonviolent felonies and making them into tournament of misdemeanors. It would actually not only affect a million people, but it would save $1 billion. And so, as you know, I mean, the war on drugs is this very costly thing that oftentimes is jailing predominantly people of color and most always for nonviolent crimes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Especially when you have, states like Colorado and Washington legalizing the recreational use of marijuana. You have many cities decriminalizing marijuana. So at this point, it's like the war on drugs really kind of became for, communities of color that they're really like jailing you on something small and then kind of having you locked up. And so a lot of the work I do, whether it's in the community with the One Hood Media Academy, which we started here in Pittsburgh, or collectively as artists, I'm actually part of a group of artists that were called together by Harry Belafonte to actually begin to make music around issues like mass incarceration, the war on drugs, child incarceration, and violence in our communities. But a lot of that deals with, the quote-unquote war on drugs. Really, we will argue the war on drugs is really a war on poor people, and specifically poor people of color.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that when you're taking a look at the statistics and the selective enforcement. Of course, Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow, lays out that case probably better than anyone has ever laid that out. What I am very excited about is that the African-American community, and particularly faith leaders in the African-American community, are coming around to this. It used to be a strict no on drugs, drugs are bad kind of stand. Tell me about that, and tell me about how we're making inroads in that area.
Well, I think people are saying, I think faith leaders are not saying, it's okay to use drugs. You know what I'm saying? I think they begin to see the distinction that these drug laws are doing and the devastating effects that it will have, not just the members of the community, but members of their own congregation and church. I mean, in communities of color, there's really not one family that has not been affected in some way around the issue of mass incarceration. So I think they saw, just like you said, they saw selective enforcement. They saw how it was really being used to devastate our community, especially if you have, you know, I think black men, I think one in every four might face some time in jail in their lifetime. I mean, that's cool. That's absolutely ridiculous. And so I think, you know, faith leaders, a lot of times they become faith leaders not because they're not intelligent, because they are intelligent. And I think when you look at the numbers, you look at the logic, you begin to look at reason, and you say, wait a second, something's wrong here. And it's bigger than whether or not we should use drugs or whether or not, you know, because, I mean, you could, I mean, alcohol is a drug, caffeine is a drug. I mean, we can go all down the list of, you know, pharmaceutical companies and all that whole spiel. So I think they began to see it's not about, like, supporting this means I'm saying, like, people should do drugs, but supporting this means I'm actually really attempting to save a community that's being lost, I mean, marginalized, you know, at a very, very rapid and dangerous rate.
We're speaking with Jasiri X and, you know, the African-American community and the hip-hop community in particular with respect to the war on drugs and the war on marijuana. I'm kind of curious because we see a lot of artists in hip-hop. I just did a story on Wiz Khalifa, who's on the lam now out of El Paso, Texas, for not showing up for his arraignment on a weed charge. And so you got Wiz Khalifa, and you got all these, you know, Snoop Dogg and all these artists who have made a lot of money promoting the cannabis lifestyle. How are they on promoting the activism and putting their money where their mouth is?
Well, I mean, I don't, you know, I know Wiz, you know, I mean, you know, I'm from Pittsburgh, and I've known Wiz since he was 16 years old. I actually saw Wiz go from a local artist to a regional artist to a national and international artist. So, you know, I'm kind of bugging out, like, watching him perform at the Grammys, like, wow, I remember seeing him perform down the street, now he's at the Grammys, and, you know, definitely, you know, one of the things I love about Wiz is he, you know, Wiz is all about having fun. You know what I'm saying? He's not talking about, you know, shooting nobody. He's not talking about doing no violence. He's all about having fun. And, you know, that's what I appreciate about him and his music. As far as, like, I mean, to me, I believe he's spoken out on feeling like, you know, I remember watching an interview of him saying he believed that by the time his child gets of age, that marijuana would be legal. But I don't know particularly, like, you know, whether or not Wiz or Snoop has been actively involved in this movement, other than, you know, kind of popularizing marijuana. I know recently here in Pittsburgh, we actually did a concert where it was artists like myself, you know, it was hip-hop, it was rock and roll, it was punk music, it was funk music, and we did a concert called Legalize It that was really an attempt to raise awareness about, you know, the legalization of marijuana, which personally I don't use, you know what I'm saying, in my own personal life. But I'm for the decriminalization of it because I see how those laws have a negative effect on my community.
Yeah, it's been absolutely devastating. Like we said before, all the statistics will bear that out. California is working on a proposition to reduce some of these sentences. The Justice Department, Eric Holder, and President Obama's administration is working hard for retroactive sentence reductions for some people who've been convicted on drug offenses. So it's obviously something that we need the African-American community and the hip-hop community to raise awareness of, and we thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah. And I would say, too, I mean, you know, look at with Obama, Bush, Clinton, you know, they all admitted to using marijuana. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, like, at that point, obviously, it didn't stop y'all from becoming president of the United States. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I think it's at a certain point where, you know, we have to begin, like I said, to look at it in an intelligent way and not, you know, continue to try to, like, demonize, you know, the use of this. When studies show, I mean, I just saw a report where it said, like, I guess in Colorado, like, just, like, accidents on the highway are at the lowest they've ever been.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, come on, y'all. Like, all the facts are there. It's clear. You know what I'm saying? The money that came into Colorado and will come into Washington. I mean, it makes financial sense. It makes logical sense. And so I think, you know, I feel like we wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for rappers like Snoop, rappers like Wiz, like hip-hop artists using their culture to just talk about it. And you see them being highly functional. You know, both Snoop and Wiz are entrepreneurs, they're businessmen. They both run multi-million-dollar businesses and brands that they have. They have products. They have rolling papers. They have all that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Shoe contracts and shoe deals. Obviously, these are very intelligent people. You know what I'm saying? And so, to me, I think that image actually has helped get us to where we are today.
Right on. And Jasiri, before we let you go, I want to make sure people know how to get in touch with you and find your videos and your work. So you got some websites and Facebook stuff to tell people about?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You can go to JasiriX.com. That's JasiriX.com. You can go to Twitter. I'm like Jasiri_X. Instagram, Jasiri_X. And then Facebook, I'm JasiriX Official. Or you can email me at jasiriX.com. Like, and I'm working on my own, you know, legalizing song coming up on my next album. So, you know, the Drug Policy Alliance and you all inspired me. I feel like I got to do something too. You know what I'm saying? I got to jump in a fight with my art and activism as well.
Fantastic. And you know, the other areas that you're looking at as far as equality of peoples. I mean, I saw your video on your experiences in Gaza. And, of course, right. Another...
The Palestine. We didn't get a chance to go into Gaza.
Yeah.
But I went to Palestine via the Carter Foundation, and it was really shocking. I really didn't know how bad, of oppression it was. Just like you said, how bad the discrimination was until I saw it from my own eyes, and I was actually shocked, you know, taken aback. And so, you know, as an artist, it's somebody that, just as somebody, just like you said, that wants to see equality on all levels, I felt like I had to speak about it.
That's great. I'm glad you're speaking out on that. And, you know, other areas and where hip hop sometimes gets criticized is homophobia and sexism. And I'm just wondering if you had anything to say about that.
Well, I think that's a legitimate criticism. But, to understand that hip hop is a reflection of a society. I mean, you know, this is a misogynistic society. And it's a society that likes to, like, label people. And then, like, put a stereotype on that label and then marginalize people. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times everybody gets marginalized. And, you know, a lot of times hip-hop has kind of come from that lens. But I think hip-hop is taking great strides in, you know, not only, kind of changing the way, the language and kind of the way we've been related to people, to women, to people of different genders. So really the next part of it is, you know, like, It's a lot of, you know, rappers that identify themselves as, you know what I'm saying, gay. There's a tremendous amount of women rappers that are talented. It's just an industry that still kind of like has a particular stereotype on what a rapper should be or how he should look or how he should sound. And so I'm just, you know, I'm waiting for like the industry, even myself, you know what I'm saying, because I'm a young black man that wants to talk about issues or wants to speak intelligently around issues, I can't get into the mainstream oftentimes. You know what I'm saying? And so what's happening is artists like us, we're becoming independent, we're putting our own stuff out, we're doing our own brand. And so to me, like, if you want to see art from the incredible women MCs, gay MCs, MCs that are people of color that have a different idea or mindset about how the world works, that's what the great thing about the internet. You go on the internet and you can type that in, and it's so many people doing so many incredible things. And so hopefully one day the mainstream, you know, major labels will catch up to this rapid transformation that we see happening in the world.
And I know you'll be a big part of it. Thank you. JasiriX at JasiriX.com. Check him out there. Check him out on YouTube. Lots of great stuff. And we're going to be playing four of your videos in the next hour. So we thank you so much, Jasiri.
Thank you, and it was great meeting you, and hope to see y'all next year. You know what I mean? Let's build.
Let's do it. All right. Thanks, Jasiri X, for joining us here on our cannabis community chat. And when we come back, we are going to have former Deputy Sheriff Leo Lawrence from San Diego with Cops Say Legalized Drugs. You're listening to the Russ Belleville Show. Stick around.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get high, Lee educated.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
This is your brain. This is heroin. This is what happens to your brain after snorting heroin. And this is what your body goes through. It's not over yet.
This is what your family goes through! And your friends! And your money! And your job! And your self-respect! And your future!
Any questions?
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. New Approach Oregon is a coalition of Oregon citizens who believe that treating marijuana use as a crime has failed, costing taxpayers millions in law enforcement resources. Our approach will regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana for adults in Oregon. We can move Oregon forward and create new revenue for critical services. Visit our website at newapproachoregon.com or our page on Facebook at New Approach Oregon. Thank you.
One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition, reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's 48 after the hour, and we're getting on the telephone with Leo Lawrence, a former deputy sheriff in San Diego, California. You can find out more about him at Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, leap.cc. They've got a speakers bureau that is some of the that is comprised of some of the best anti-prohibition speakers out there, former cops, prosecutors, judges, prison guards, all who believe that the war on drugs is a failure and we need to end adult marijuana prohibition. Deputy Sheriff Lawrence, still trying to get him on the line. No response yet on the phone line. We'll go to some music until we can get him on the air. Welcome back, everybody. Joining us on telephone, we've got Leo Lawrence, a former deputy sheriff from the San Diego area. Leo, are you on the line?
I am.
Oh, thank you for...
You can get a better signal, though, if you can call me on my landline.
Yeah, I tried the landline and got no answer. Would you like me to dial that back?
Yes.
Okay, call you back in just a moment. We will return just as soon as we've got him on the line. All right. I think we got Leo on the landline now. Are you there, Leo?
You do.
Oh, fantastic. Glad to have you here. And thanks for joining us on our Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment. I was looking at your bio at Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and you point out how California's prisons are unconstitutionally overcrowded and graduate schools in crime. Tell us
right.
about this overcrowding and why it's unconstitutional.
Well, the Constitution prohibits cruel and unusual punishment. And when you have prisons that are seriously overfilled, the capacity for which they were built, the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that that is cruel and unusual punishment.
I see. And I understand there's attempts in California now to rectify that situation. DPA tried a proposition a few years ago that didn't make it. What's happening now to try to reduce this overcrowding?
Well, the governor is working with the Department of Justice, and they're trying to come up. What they're doing is releasing the least serious offenders. The ones who are murderers and sex crimes people, they're staying in. But the ones who are in because they were holding a joint, they're the ones who are getting what is called early release. And the California is under a lot of pressure on this because the overcrowding is really very, very serious. But especially when you realize that one out of every 100 Americans are behind bars in a jail or a prison. Mm. And we house nearly 25% of the world's prisoners, yet we have less than 5% of the world's population.
Yeah, it's a pretty damning statistic about the land of the free, and I'm glad that people are working to make those changes in California. And
I'm delighted that you're doing this show. This is extremely important so that listeners can get involved and do something to change this, especially with their local jails. There are too many people who are especially African Americans and Latinos who are in long jail terms for small drug offenses.
Yeah, it is tragic.
LEAP, or Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, we've got over 100,000 supporters in 86 countries.
Marvelous.
There's a lot of people who support what we are trying to do, and that is basically legalize regulation where we decide how, when, where, and by whom drugs are sold.
We're speaking with Leo Lawrence, a former deputy sheriff in Southern California. And I saw also in your bio here that you once served on the Biker Enforcement Task Force with the DA's
Correct.
Office in San Diego. This, I think, would give you probably a really good perspective on the funding of criminal organizations through this this prohibition, not just of marijuana, but of other drugs.
Oh, yes. That's why advocates the legalized regulation of all drugs. And then we decide when, where, how, and why any drugs are sold. And I've had people say, well, Why would law enforcement favor that? And the reason is it significantly reduces crime. This war on drugs is a total failure. And they had done many polls, national polls, and 3 out of 4 American voters believe that the war on drugs is a total failure. But there's a lot of money involved.
Yeah, and speaking of that money, one of the, or a few of the biggest obstacles to reform in California is the massive California Prison Guards Union and the correctional institutions, the private prisons that lobby so hard there in Sacramento to keep things the way they are. How can we upset that apple cart?
Well, I am a very strong believer and supporter of unions. However, we've got to get our to have the political guts to do something about this. And I'm glad that the federal government is finally going into court and took it all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the court, the U.S. Supreme Court, for example, told California, your prisons are breaking the law. It's cruel, it's unconstitutional what you're doing. But there is a lot of money involved. Even there was a survey done by the National Association of Chiefs of Police, and 82% said that they believe that the war on drugs has not been successful in reducing drug use. And by the way, your listeners who want more details or information on all this can go online, and it's very simple. Cops say legalizedrugs.com. That's cops, plural, say legalizedrugs.com. And we know those countries that do regulate drugs, there's a lot of money coming into their treasuries. And their crime rates have gone down significantly. Especially like in California, you realize that just marijuana alone is a $19 billion, with a B, billion-dollar industry, and none of that is taxed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really...
Colorado got smart, as did the state of Washington.
That's right. It's a supply and demand market that's always going to exist. And the sooner we recognize that and transfer its control from criminals to law-abiding, tax-paying, job-creating American citizens, the better off we'll all be. Leah Lawrence is a former deputy sheriff out of San Diego and a speaker with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. If you'd like to book a speaker like him or Leo himself, just go to leap.cc and look for speakers. And there's a whole bunch. There's somebody in your area who can lend some gravitas and some wisdom to this particular movement. Thank you, Leo, for joining us, and we'll talk
can
to you again
I give
sometime.
You my on the air, can I give a phone number and email so people can contact?
Go right ahead.
All right. Phone number is area code 619-757-4909. And the email address is leopowerhere@msn.com, and that's spelling L-E-O, P as in Paul, O-W-E-R, H-E-R-E @msn.com.
All
right. I'd love to hear from your listeners.
Thank you, Leo. Thank you for pointing that out, and we'll get that in our chat rooms as well. All right, folks, that's all the time we've got for today's show. And coming up in hour two, we got more music with Jasiri X. Also, Chuck Diesel will bring us our daily toker tune for the day.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
All right, for Big Island Zane, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.